KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, we have cloudy skies and 14 degrees in Atlantic. We look for some areas of fog this morning. Otherwise, partly cloudy today and a high of 35. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jeff Behrens of Stifel Investments. In the news, police in Red Oak report the arrest Thursday night of 36-year-old Jeremy Ray Dillocker of Red Oak. Dillocker was taken into custody at around 7:45 p.m. in the 500 block of North 4th Street on a charge of public intoxication. He was being held at the Montgomery County Jail on a $300 bond. Sheriff's officials in Cass County yesterday reported three arrests occurred over the past week. On Saturday, 41-year-old Zachary James Watkins of Atlantic was arrested for interference with official acts. On January 21st, 36-year-old Ty Daniel Jordan of Exira was arrested by Cass County deputies on an Atlantic Police Department warrant for assault. And on January 19th, Cass County deputies arrested 35-year-old Robert Benjamin Waite of Audubon on a Cass County Sheriff's Office warrant for simple assault. All three men were later released on their own cognizance. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office yesterday said an inmate at the jail, 29-year-old Derek Carl Mullen of Council Bluffs, was served with a warrant Wednesday afternoon for violation of probation. Mullen was being held on a $10,000 bond for charges that include burglary in the second degree and interference with official acts. An investigation into a dispatched unknown injury accident Wednesday afternoon near Crescent resulted in the arrest of 25-year-old Matthew Douglas Gilmore from Council Bluffs. Gilmore faces charges that include driving while license denied, suspended, canceled, or revoked, and OWI second offense. His bond was set at $2,000 on the OWI charge. Tuesday night, 36-year-old Jeannie Clayman of Harlan was arrested in Avoca on a felony warrant for theft in the second degree, as well as providing false identification information and possession of contraband in a correctional facility. Clayman's bond was set at $5,000. And Tuesday morning, jail inmate 36-year-old Joseph Santos Benegas was served with a warrant for OWI first offense at the Pott County Jail. He was later released on his own recognizance with a preliminary hearing set for February 4th. The Mills County Sheriff's Office reports five recent arrests. On Thursday, 55-year-old Claude Marvin Menard of Rogers, Arkansas, was arrested at the Mills County Jail for being a fugitive from justice. He remains held there without bond. And 33-year-old Terry Eugene Lunsford, Jr. of Council Bluffs, was arrested Thursday for possession of a controlled substance and eluding. His bond was set at $26,000. Wednesday night, 52-year-old Shannon Jean Cooper of St. Joseph, Missouri, was arrested on I-29 in Mills County for driving while revoked, with bond set at $1,000. Wednesday afternoon, 32-year-old Jessica Lynn Pedrin of Audubon was arrested in Webster County on a Mills County warrant for possession of a controlled substance and prostitution, stemming from an incident in December. Her bond was set at $12,000. And then on Sunday, 40-year-old Daniel Lee Walling II of Omaha was arrested in Mills County on a warrant for violation of probation. His bond was set at $5,000. District 21 State Representative Tom Moore reports the House Human Resources Committee passed four bipartisan bills this week to address child care access. Moore says since March, 81 child care centers and 41 child care development homes have closed due to the pandemic. Ensuring access to child care, he says, is an important step in getting people back to work.
To that end, the House Human Resources Committee has passed four bipartisan bills this week to address access to child care. These bills seek to increase the child care workforce, increase provider rates for existing child care facilities, provide incentives to create new child care facilities, and help hardworking families to afford the cost of child care.
And Republicans in the Iowa legislature have voted to force every Iowa school district to hold all classes in person 100% of the time. Senator Brad Zahn, a Republican from Urbandale, says 15 public school districts and one private school aren't doing that today.
Parents are upset. Parents want their kids back in class. They recognize that their kids are falling behind.
The bill now goes to Governor Reynolds, who said that she wants it to be the first bill she wants to sign into law this year. Senator Joel Bochum, a Democrat from Iowa City, said school boards made hard decisions during the pandemic to have students attend every other day or shift classes online.
This bill is nothing more than Governor Reynolds settling a political score with large urban school districts that disagreed with her.
Senator Herman Kornbach, a Democrat from Ames, says legislators should have ensured teachers and school staff were vaccinated for COVID first.
We all want the kids back in the school as soon as we can. Do that safely. And it's not just the kids' safety we need to protect, It's the teachers and staff as well.
Representative Phil Thompson, a Republican from Jefferson, was the bill's floor manager in the House.
Classrooms provide much, much more than quality academic curriculum, although that is a major factor in proposing this bill. In-person learning provides social support, mental health support, nutritious meals, and many other benefits that parents weigh in choosing the education method that works best for their children.
Legislators of both parties expect the governor to sign the bill into law today. Once that happens, Iowa schools that aren't holding all classes in person will have until February 15th to make the change. Districts could choose to also offer virtual classes in addition to face-to-face instruction. And an announcement of a second positive case of coronavirus at the Iowa Capitol on Thursday has again raised the issue of safety in the building. Iowa House Chief Clerk Megan Nelson says a person associated with the House tested positive on Wednesday. It was the second positive coronavirus test in the building since lawmakers convened more than 2 weeks ago. Democrats have complained daily that Republican leaders refused to initiate a mask mandate in the building. House Speaker Pat Grassley says leaders have done what is needed to ensure a safe work environment. In our funeral announcements, Leona Roy, age 96, that is, of Manning, died Sunday in Carroll. A mass of Christian burial for Leona Roy will be today at 10:30 at the Sacred Heart Church in Manning. OD Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Social distancing and face masks will be required. Sharon Lou Wagner, age 81, of Atlantic, died Tuesday. Funeral service for Sharon Wagner will be today at 11 a.m. at the Cutler, O'Neill, Meyer, and Woodring Bayless Park Chapel in Council Bluffs. Barbara Jean Duvall, age 96, of Audubon, died Saturday. Funeral services for Barbara Jean Duvall will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. Karen Radcliffe Mulgard, age 79, of Atlantic, died January 20th. Funeral services for Karen Radcliffe Mulgard will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Tom Harris, age 61, of Anita, died Sunday at Caring Acres in Anita. Funeral services for Tom Harris will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care of Anita has the arrangements. Lorraine Coors, age 88, of Garner and formerly of Atlantic, died January 18th. Graveside services for Lorraine Coors will be on Monday at 10 a.m. in the Atlantic Cemetery. Cataldo Funeral Home of Garner is in charge of the arrangements. And Shirley Griffin, age 76, of Exira, died Monday at the Taylor House in Des Moines. Funeral services for Shirley Griffin will be Monday at 2 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. The news was brought to you by Jeff Moranz of Stiefel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.